This is Form. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Since 1977, some people can't imagine what it was like back then. Talking to Jill Baker, Executive Director of the Community Action for Veterans. But actually, we're going to be talking mostly about female veterans. And before we start, there's a special event coming up.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me, John. It's the Stand Up for Women Veterans event. It's their third annual. It's on Saturday, March 23rd from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church here in Sioux Falls. And we got lots of really great stuff that'll be happening during that time.
Somebody said 3 million women vets out there. A lot of them probably, you know, they're married, their husband has insurance, maybe they haven't filled out the paperwork to get their VA benefits. The PACT Act is something that women can look into. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the PACT Act is really about, it's for all veterans, but it's in regards to toxic exposure while serving in the military. We were talking, John and I were talking about how there are some new presumptives just recently, and they've opened it up to some new categories of individuals who could possibly qualify. And so really, if you're wanting to learn more about it, I would suggest that you either contact a local veteran service officer in your county or an organization, or even to contact the regional office here in Sioux Falls to learn more about it.
I didn't know there is, and maybe we can start a group to organize a little bit in Sioux Falls. There is a Women's Veterans Recognition Day. They do it at the Military Veterans Women's Memorial. I didn't know it was one of those, too. But we're educating things here a little bit. But back in 1948, the Women's Armed Services Integration Act was signed, and so it's the 76th anniversary would be this summer of that act. That was pretty important.
Yeah, that's amazing. Women have just really had to advocate for themselves individually and as a group to gain the same benefits that their male counterparts had.
I want to mention Rose at the VA. I'm not going to mention her last name, but she was a nurse. Now she volunteers. You can see her at the front desk handling the wheelchair rental, you know, the wheelchair things there. She worked diligently back, I don't know how many years ago, I've been doing this since 77, so it's been a while back, to fight for the rights of the nurses, the female and women's nurses, and I think they won quite a bit and got a lot accomplished. And sometimes it's one person that pushes through something that got to let people know that there's a lot of people that were standing on some people's shoulders that did a lot of work before us. The female vet today is different than what we see in the movies from Pearl Harbor, the Air Force movie that we see now, that, you know, where they hold the lemonade out for the returning pilots. Today they carry arms. I mean, it's more like Israel. I mean, they actually carry rifles and fly helicopters.
Well, we've been doing that for a while. I know I carried a M16 in the late 80s and early 90s. So, I mean, those things have been around. It's just been a matter of when women have had to fight for the same benefits as men, as doing the same work. And really, when I was in the military during the Persian Gulf War era, I like to think of that as the first, maybe not the first time, but one of the most important times when there was no quote-unquote front line when we were deployed during that time, during Operation Desert Storm. So women were on the front lines, and yet they were not getting paid the combat pay that their male counterparts were, simply because they could not have sign up as that MOS or that job duty.
That's changing now, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. Women can serve in any MOS now, and any job in the military.
With that, though, comes the other side of the coin, PTSD. The Vietnam War actually, I think, defined what PTSD was. Before, they just said, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or battle fatigue.
Battle fatigue.
But PTSD now is recognized in female veterans quite a bit, too. There's a lot of homeless female veterans. We don't realize that, but there is actually some work that's being done because there's homeless female veterans because of PTSD.
That's one of the reasons that women, not all women, but a good variety of women who have served in the military have experienced some sort of what they call military sexual trauma. And if you think about the effects of either being sexually assaulted or harassed in the workplace, bullied, and then you put on top of that being in a war zone, or, you know, working with what they call your buddies and your family, it can just be really challenging to be effective as a soldier or a service member.
Military sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. There's different kinds of trauma.
Right.
But this is something that doesn't go away.
Never. And to be fair, any type of trauma in serving, and we're talking about military, but even our, you know, male service members, trauma is trauma, and it doesn't ever leave you. We deal with it day in and day out. And then when it comes to, you know, the military sexual trauma, that's more focal, it's not even just women. It's like 1 in 10 men to 1 in 4 women. And in actuality, that equals out to be the same across ratios, which is kind of interesting.
Well, they say the MSA, or the military sexual assault, the records are probably 6 times more than what's been reported. It's the most underreported.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It can just really affect your ability to just even stay as an effective service member in the field, or to even get promoted.
Well, back in Rose's day, if you got pregnant, it basically, that was up to you, right? You took care of it yourself. But today, female veteran mothers, what's it like for them?
Well, I'm a female veteran mother. I was not a mother while I was in the military, but it definitely affects us in a way. Well, affected me personally in a way that I just felt like my children and my husband and I deserved the best life we could have. So I actually went through counseling, and I really started to try to connect with the VA, and it was really hard. But, you know, we don't want our children to suffer the effects of what we have to deal with. And so that's another, you know, that's a whole nother issue that kind of goes along with that.
Talking to Joe Baker, Executive Director of Community Action for Veterans in Sioux Falls. Tell us the event coming up this next weekend.
Again, it's the 3rd annual Stand Up for Women Veterans Retreat, Saturday, March 23rd. From 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. We have a wellness fair. We have the Amplify Your Sparkle Marketplace, which is going to be a group of women-owned businesses that are sharing their wares with us. And also, we have some really great presenters from the Vet Center, Sanford Health, and the South Dakota East Women's Business Center.
Getting back to female veterans, mothers have a child. Well, there's a lot of homeless, mainly because they can't afford childcare. And childcare, even in Sioux Falls right now, is a big problem for all mothers.
Well, you know, in childcare, it is a problem nationally, really, in how it's, you know, it's about prioritizing that in a community, I guess. But also, when you are struggling with adversity in your life, and then on, you know, trying to work, be a mother, be, you know, finding the childcare, and trying to be, you know, if that person is a single mom, that can just be really hard. And so we're trying to, here at Community Action for Veterans, we definitely want to try to make sure that any woman veteran who wants to attend this event can. So there is free child care as well, so that they can connect to those resources and we can hear their voices and learn from them.
There are resources for women veterans, of course, the VA, you can call anytime. We have one of the best VAs, I think, here in Sioux Falls. They have homeless women veterans can seek employment assistance. They have disabled veterans outreach programs, veterans employment and training services, housing, rapid housing, many programs. I hope some of these don't get diminished because of the immigration funds that seem to be moving to other areas in some states. But the homeless female veteran out there, there's some out there, and maybe they're not homeless, maybe they're single. If they have PTSD, they're more likely to not be married, I would imagine, or maybe divorced. But what can you say to those who have been sexually assaulted and haven't told anybody?
There are others of us out there that have dealt with a similar kind of feeling. And, you know, when you're ready, it's not easy to move forward, but it's in your own time. But when you're ready, just reach out to another woman veteran or your family. They might not understand, but just a best friend, just to kind of get that off of your shoulders and start moving forward.
What's it like to be afraid of reprisal or being ostracized from your co-workers? I mean, that's a fear in the military that your career is over.
Well, yeah, yes. When you have to leave the military because of something like that, it definitely, you lose your sense of purpose. And so you leave the military, and you might have all that patriotism still stuck deep inside of you, but there's no way for you to release it. And what I found is a woman veteran, and this is just, again, I'm just speaking from my own lived experience, is that what we learn as women in the military of how you work with a team, which is very male-oriented, doesn't always work in the workplace with other women who've never served. So it can be a real struggle.
Well, you were in Iraq. How have things...
Well, I wasn't actually deployed to Iraq. I was I was stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado, during the Persian Gulf, during Operation Desert Storm.
Well, there's a lot of people at that base. How has it changed since then? I mean, that's been a little while ago now.
I have not been there since the early 90s. As far as... I can say that the rate of reports of sexual assault or harassment is as high as ever. So it's not going away. But there's a lot that we're trying to do, especially people my age who are older now. And so I feel I have two sons in college. And so I really feel a sense of really trying to be that mentor for those younger generation of veterans, women, yes, but all of them. I mean, like I said, I have two sons. And so when I think about those younger veterans, just really wanting to help them when they transition out of the military to just make it that much easier.
What was boot camp for you, for women back then?
Oh, it was the same. They had the guys were across the way in their own barracks, but... Lots of hard work and exercise. I remember, a long ride on the plane, on the bus, and then getting to Fort McClellan in Alabama, and just exhausted. And I tell this story sometimes, and now I have to remember. But the drill sergeant got on the bus, and it was dark, and he said something about he wanted us off the bus before our rucksacks, our duffel bags hit the ground. So, of course, you can't do that, right? And so already we were doing push-ups, and I didn't even know what the heck was going on. And then they give you all the shots. There's tons of shots, and they just, it's like two guns, one in each arm at the same time. It's just, and then the very next morning, you know, here I'm delirious. Oh, and then not only that, after all that, is when they took our picture. So you have your Kevlar on, and just looking miserable and tired, and they take your picture. But no, it's we did the obstacle courses and the live fire trainings. You know, we did all of that.
There's a lot of talk in sports about the difference between men and women. In the military, they recognize that, don't they? There is physical differences that they do. I think women do more now that is equal to men, but there's a physical strength factor, I think, as far as bones and all that kind of thing. Recognized, isn't there?
Well, I think about what the expectation is for what a woman should weigh in the military, and I feel like they should up that a little bit and let us have more muscle. To be honest, like, we need to be able to be more buff without being put on a, you know, saying you're overweight when you're like pencil thin. You just happen to have muscle.
Well, what would you say to the women out there that would say maybe the military is something I would like to, look at? They're in high school maybe, or college, or whichever, and saying, I don't want all those college loans. I can join the military learn a career and travel the world. What can you say to that person that's thinking of joining the military, right, or the female that's thinking of joining?
I'm a strong advocate for women being able to do whatever that is that they want to do. So if they want to join the military and serve their country, I say go for it, and then we'll be here for you when you get out.
Well, sexual misconduct is in any group of people, military or corporate. MST, I guess, give us your experience on that.
Well, I won't go too much into it. It's pretty personal.
If you can share what you can.
But, you know, there's definitely predators out there when you're in the military, and being so young, when you first join, at least if you're right out of high school, just so much you don't understand. And there's, you know, there are predators out there, and they, I would imagine, have a way of, especially when you are able to change duty stations and, you know, you're PCSing and the women leave and you leave, that person can continue that. And I find I have a hard time thinking about a soldier who maybe got an award or a medal for doing something meritorious, and yet they had assaulted a person, male or female, but a woman. It makes me angry when I think about that, because I don't think there should be any place for that in the military.
How do you deal with that today?
Well, you become the executive director of a veteran serving organization. lead the way.
That's what this luncheon is, and that's
absolutely
all about.
It's connecting with one another.
People that maybe, like I say, even going back to Korea or World War II, there's some that probably have never told anybody. But they can come to this luncheon and talk to people that understand the language.
Absolutely. Yep. And you do. It's the same. I'm also a military brat, so my dad was Air Force.
How many places did you live?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my dad was a Minuteman. Or a missileer. So, like, he was the guy with the codes, and he was in the silos. So I was born in Grand Forks at the air base there. And, I mean, I would say by the time my senior year in high school, ended up being in Rapid City, South Dakota, at Stevens High School. My dad got his last duty station was Ellsworth, but in between there, probably 12 times. And then myself, you know, I then joined the Army, and so I moved around a bunch. But I've been in Sioux Falls since 1995, and so I have to say, though, as a military brat, I'm so proud to say that my kids have grown up in a hometown with their daddy in a home that we created together and that our children grew up in. And it's, for a military brat, that's huge.
Do your children think about military?
I mean joining?
Well, are they thinking about it?
No, I don't think. So my older son, he's getting his degree in mechanical engineering right now. And then my younger son is up at Vancouver Film School.
Well, they've got some good careers. Talking to Jill Baker, Executive Director of the Community Action for Veterans. Tell us about the Community Action for Veterans, that group itself.
Yeah, so we've been around since 2015 as what's called a Community Veterans Engagement Board. So I say that slow, but because it's, you know, the military has a lot of acronyms, but essentially it's a CVEB, Community Veterans Engagement Board, and they're all across the United States. We started out as a volunteer organization within the MilVets Chamber of Commerce Committee, the MilVets Committee, and just did a lot of listening and learning and trying to figure out where we could fit in as a organization that sort of does coalition building around veteran and military issues, and became a nonprofit in 2022. So we're celebrating, I should say, we're celebrating our first year with a ribbon cutting. So we are now our own Chamber of Commerce member, and our ribbon cutting is this coming Wednesday.
How big a group do you have as far as people that come to these things?
It really depends. So this event right now, the one that's on March 23rd, we currently have about 60 women that have signed up to attend, and we have 20 wellness fair vendors. So that's everything from the VA to the Vet Center to veteran serving organizations like VOA, for instance, and the Veterans Community Project, and then the veteran service organizations. It's just Sanford, just a lot of them. And then we also are hosting for the first time what's called the Amplify Your Sparkle Marketplace, where we are partnering with the South Dakota CEO of Women's Business Center to host women-owned businesses that are focused on wellness. And so the women who attend, the women veterans, will be able to maybe spend a little money.
Well, we always talk about the stand-in in September for kind of all veterans.
The stand-down.
This is for women, or stand-down, yeah. It's a hand up. It's not a handout. It's a hand up is what we call it. But this is kind of a one-stop shop for women to find out so many things that maybe they're not aware of, that they're benefits that they should be getting.
Yeah, and so one thing that we as a veteran serving organization, so Community Action for Veterans is a veteran serving, not a veteran service, but a veteran serving organization, is we really strongly believe in being that warm handoff, that warm introduction. And so when we host events, we want to make sure that there's enough resources there that we can do like a warm handoff to say, hey, here's a referral. Can you chat with this lady about this? Or they can go up on their own accord. But also, it's so important that women, one thing that we don't have is each other. And those connections are really important. And so that is, this is really also about connecting with each other. And so the presenters this year are also there. They kind of talk about that and giving us opportunities to be with each other, learning how to be healthy strategies to help you be your best self. I'm so excited that Dr. Lori Landine from Sanford Health is going to be presenting. She was my OB doctor, and she's also a veteran. And then an amplifier, so a vision board workshop with the director of the Women's Business Center. So just really exciting stuff.
Well, I know there's World War II veterans that sit in, the DAV and at the bar, and they don't talk about it. And I'm sure now that there's women, again, that go out there and they just don't talk about it. And so here's a place where you can.
Yes.
And find out more about these women in these businesses. Are they veterans or?
Most likely not, which is very exciting to me, because that's another one of our initiatives, is connecting the military to non-military people. It's so important with that transition from military service into the civilian community.
That transition is exactly what I was going to say, and just the fact that this group knows what you're talking about. You have child care, so you understand.
We have some free child care. Yeah. Yep, and so I'm also a certified social worker.
Okay.
And I got that actually during the pandemic, so I was like the oldest student for sure. But point being that one thing that some of the barriers that keep people, or, and I'll say women because we're talking about women, from getting the services they need are things like they can't find childcare, or there might be food insecure, or they're homeless. So that's why we're offering a free meal to them and free childcare if they need it, and then a way for them to access people to talk to that are, you know, have those resources or are the resource.
Those that have had sexual assault in the military, it's not their fault.
No.
But they may be having a hard time getting employment. They may be having a hard time keeping a relationship. They might even spend some time homeless. The rent's getting pretty high for everybody. I think, yeah, a lot are going to end up in tents right now. But I do know in trauma that it doesn't go away, but you learn how to live with it.
And you have to choose how you want to live with it, because I think that it's the easy way out if you just suffer and let yourself suffer the rest of your life. It's harder to be healthier because you have to deal with all of that trauma and really learn the tools to deal with it so you can be a productive member of society.
Again, tell us about next weekend.
All right.
Some people just tuned in.
It's the third annual Stand Up for Women Veterans Retreat, Saturday, March 23rd, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And you can absolutely still register. If you want, you can go to our Facebook page, which is at South Dakota CAV.
Is there a support group for women veterans?
We're trying to start one.
That's what I was going to say. We have a support group for just about everything in Sioux Falls, except I found there's one thing we don't have that we need. We need a support group for those who are grieving for their pets. That's something that we need to put together, because that's,
yes,
a trauma too.
Absolutely.
So here's an example out there. If somebody feels like organizing something for women, is to get a group that can meet in the church basement and have a support group for women veterans.
Give me a call. I'll help.
That could be something that maybe we can get started this year.
Absolutely.
Again, there's people just coming out now from the military. What can we say to them? They get all these booklets and pamphlets and all that kind of thing. But what's available right here in Sioux Falls right now?
Well, there are a lot of resources that are available. And what makes them hard to access is the fact that there are so many available. So I would suggest, if you're looking for, you need something, either you can go to one of our veteran service organizations. You have like the DAV and the VFW, the American Legion, even the PVA. You can go to the South Dakota Regional Office, which is on the campus of the hospital, or call 211. So 211, I will say that our organization is part of the Governor's Challenge team to reduce veteran suicide prevention. And so I can tell you that Helpline is going to be very instrumental in that going forward. And we're going to be aligning our work with what's going on at the Governor's Challenge.
It's an arm's length away, now we say that it's in your hand. 211 is in the phone. Real simple, but thing is, if they haven't documented, they haven't filled out their paperwork, they think, well, my husband's got insurance or whichever. The PACT Act is something that they need to know more about.
That's for toxic exposure.
Yeah, they can document it now, and if they get sick later,
yes,
then they can document the programs on that. So call 211 again now. Tell us about next weekend.
Okay, I did want to say that, so I know we're talking about the PACT Act, but really it's for anything that hidden or physical or those hidden disabilities you might have experienced in the military, they can all be service-connected. I just wanted to put that out there, that it's not just toxic exposure. It can be anything. So the event is Saturday, March 23rd from 8 to 2. It's called the Stand Up for Women Veterans Retreat, at Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and you could still sign up if you would like. At you can go to our Facebook page at South Dakota CAV.
Jill Baker, Executive Director of Community Action for Veterans. All you have to do is call 211, if nothing else.
Yes, 211 will help.
I want to thank you for being with us on forum.
Thank you.